Are dreams real? Don't all answer once, I know, okay. Not much of a danger to that. Are dreams real? The only time I get to be with my brother Rick now is in dreams. I mean, 30 years ago next month that he died. Every now and then, I visit him in a dream. And, you know, the fights that we had growing up are long forgotten. All that's left is the familiarity, the comfort, and the reality of the kind and gentle spirit that he went into. I wake up refreshed and comforted and felt like he's not that far away. Is that real? Havelock Ellis tells us that dreams are real while they exist. Can we say any more about life? Life is real while we're living. Dreams are real while we're dreaming. How do you know what is real? And how do you know if dreams is part of that reality? Can we change reality by what we dream about, what we think about, what we choose? Can we choose our dreams? One of the greatest times to hear about dreams is at commencement addresses. Times where people come and talk about the future and the dreams and the possibilities. And one of them is from 2005. We have a little tiny bit of it. David Foster Wallace at Kenyon College in 2005 gave a 20-minute speech, which we will not be enjoying today. I know you're disappointed. But there is a 9-minute video, which we will not be enjoying today. But in that 9-minute video, there's a 20-minute speech that has been brought into a book. We're going to have a couple minutes, just three or so, about reality and about dreams. So I'm going to cough at strategic places so naughty kind of words don't get through. We'll see why I do. Go ahead, dear musician. Did you catch it? The word was a sacred. Now, I don't know how many of you went out on Good Friday. I was on the other side of the register at Best Buy. Trying to open on that sacred stuff. I had a good time. Did you see the default? You know, all the imaginations that we think are normal and reality and what is the way of the truth of the matter is that this person's in my way, there's too many crowds here, they're rude, and they're talking on the phone, they're all doing this. That is just as made up as thinking the way he was thinking. Putting in empathy into what other people are going through, and how other people are now, and everything is supposed to get out of my way, and all lights aren't supposed to turn green for me. We can choose which way we're experiencing the world. What do you think was Joseph's default setting, as the video was saying? Joseph, default setting. I mean, here's a guy, I'm thinking he saw the earth kind of steady guy, carpenter, you know, they're not crazy people, you know, they're making things that are usual. A maker, not a taker, you know, a great guy. And I'm thinking he's on the default setting, he's going through life, and he's thinking, I'm Mary, the local hometown girl, you know, Mary, we're all set, we're ready to go, and then you know, maybe I'll be a carpenter, and they'll look at me, I've got a son, he'll be the carpentry shop, we'll grow up, maybe do some volunteer work, synagogue on Sabbath, you know, maybe take the family to Jerusalem for Passover, you know, and then we'll be trip for every year, that'd be nice. And he's just going along with that. And something kicks him off the default setting. Now here's a question again. For you good Bible-believing Presbyterians, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you for the amen. All right. Did an angel speak to Joseph? Did an angel speak to Joseph? If you believe that, then you believe dreams are real. Because the angel spoke to Joseph in a dream. And so if an angel spoke to Joseph, then you believe that dreams are real. You didn't even know you did you? It's good you came today. Because you believe, as a matter of faith, that dreams are real. You know, Joseph's a big dreamer. Comes from a long line of dreamers. Later on, we're going to hear about another dream that Joseph has that made him do crazy things again. But I'll save that for later. In the Hebrew scriptures, some people call it the Old Testament, there was another Joseph. Remember him? The Joseph of many colors? With a coat of many colors, coat with sleeves, coat with, I don't know. But he had a special darn coat. That coat, that guy was called what? Remember his nickname by his brothers? The Dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. He thinks he's going to be something. He thought he was going to go and be bigger and powerful and then all of his brothers. And you know what? That was a dream he held on to in prison. The worst possible situation. He still had the dream that someday he will be in glory and be able to help his brothers and be in power. And now we have another Joseph, the dreamer. And you know what? Another strange thing about Joseph. Not a big part of this Joseph. Or at least something getting into this room. It doesn't say he told anybody. Can you imagine? Joseph? Hey, Mary, you know, we don't have any idea of what the position Joseph was in. Of how embarrassing, how shameful, how horrible, how upsetting Joseph is. Because we don't have this marriage thing like they had back then. Let me see if I can try to put it in here. It was kind of like this. They had a big wedding plan, a big marriage, an engagement in the newspaper, and the parties, and the showers, and the cars, and the limos, and the cake, and everything, and the church. And you know, everybody's there. And have the wedding, and yes, I do, and I got a ring, all that, and they go out to the reception, and everybody, they go to the reception, and they're taking a toast, and they say, Mary, take a toast, and she goes, I can't, I'm pregnant. And Joseph says, what? It'd be kind of like that. The marriage, and we're serious. Maybe I should redo this. Is it too late to go back? You know, and what he wanted to do was, like, I see people at Best Buy, you know, and come back and they bring perfectly good things and they say, I don't want it anymore. Give me a new one. I want my money back. And everybody says, oh, yeah, I can see why you didn't like it. I'm sorry it didn't work out for you the way you expected. You know, I'm sorry you had a problem with it. I hope you'll be back again. But he had a dream. He went up. Well, what a strange dream. Because, you know, we don't like to say it because, you know, we're talking about Jesus. I mean, it's Jesus. You know, we should be nice to call him good. But that was sin. That child was sin. That child was horrible. Every time you see that kid, you go, you know where he got from. You know why he's here. And the angel said to Joseph, you know, you think that boy is sin. But I want to tell you, not only is that boy not sin, but that boy is going to change the world by taking away the sin. He does not bring sin. He takes away sin. And Joseph changes what he determined to do. Now, often in a sermon, I give you a lot to think about. And I apologize if you came here to get an hour's rest. I mean, it's about dreaming. You think some sleeping would be involved, but no, never. But I also forget to tell people what to do. I don't know. Maybe I'm shy. But I resolved I was going to tell people what to do today. So here you go. This is a special bonus. How can you live your dreams? How do you choose a dream? I even got a blue brief. Number one, be aware of the dream. You have to be aware that there's a dream out there, that there's another reality, that there is something more going on than what I want, what I need, what my plans are. Standing in that line, there's other people with their own lives, their own challenges, their own comforts, their own all that going on. You have to be aware of it. The biggest dream we think of when we think of American culture, what dream do we think of? You can speak out, it's okay. I have a special pass. What's the biggest dream in American culture? Martin Luther King. I have a dream. Martin Luther King, what a great speech. I have a dream. I have a dream that someday the sons of slaveholders and the sons of slaves will go and play together. I have a dream that someday that men and women will be judged by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin. He almost didn't say that. That was not in the speech. He was foundering, as pastors are known to do, and he got some feedback from Matthew Jackson, who told him, "Tell him about the dream, Martin. Tell him about the dream." You got to be aware of the dream before you can choose the dream. I hope you have someone in your life that's telling you, tell them about your dream, and I hope you tell people about the dream. I hope you listen to the dream about another reality, about another way of being, about another outcome, about another future. You have to be aware that there's more than one possibility, that there's something else, something more going on than just about us and me and mine. You've got to be, even Martin Luther King Jr., the great leader and pastor, had to be told to be aware of the dream. Here's something you can try. Now that's radical. This got crazy. This got nuts. You don't have to do it. Don't get upset. If you don't want to, it's okay. You know that Lord's Prayer thing we say all the time? You know, for your devotion time, maybe even want to take a little baby step of risk and try to pray a little different. I want you to think about praying. Instead of thy kingdom come. Because you know, kingdom, it's gotten a bad rap the last couple hundred years, a couple thousand. You know, it's gotten a bit political, and it's got kind of a little worry kind of thing. You know, it's all about the boundaries and the realms and how big and whether or not I have this island or that island, and I'm better not fly in my airspace and my kingdom, you know. And it's all about the wars and power and politics. And I'm thinking, God, no, I think a better translation in the way that some people have understood it is, thy dream come. God, may your dream for humanity come. May your will be done. May we live into your dream, your vision, your idea, the way you want us to be. Maybe that'll help you if you add that to your prayer. Maybe that'll help you to be aware of the dream. Step one, be aware. The second one is what angels always say. Angels always say this. If angels sent out Christmas cards, they would have this printed on the front because they always say it. And what is that? Do not be afraid. They must be scary. Because they're always saying, do not be afraid. But that's very important about the dream. You cannot choose a dream if you're afraid. If you're fear, you're shutting down. If you're afraid, you don't do out of faith. So faith over fear. Do not be afraid. Be faithful. Do not think about all the terrible, awful things that could go on. And all the wonder, all of them, so scared. What if I go there and what would my friends say? You know, it's a Christmas story. And you know, the stable and all this. That's nice. But think of the 90-month pregnant woman on a 70-mile trip on the roads that weren't in the best shape back then. I'm wondering if that's because not only was there no place to begin, but there was no place for that mare to have that child in my house. I don't care what Joseph thinks. He's a fool. I have nothing to do. I wonder if Joseph, I've got friends in Bethlehem, they'll take me in. And I mean, where my family's from. And I got to go there for the census meeting. People were afraid of what people would say, of what it would mean, of the example they would set for the children. If they were kind and gave Mary a place to have that child. You can't choose a dream if you're afraid. God's definition of dream is something that doesn't exist yet. Or kind of doesn't exist until you make it exist. Don't be afraid. It's only an angel. The third thing is kind of a strange thing. You know, in recovery, if you know anybody in recovery in 12-step programs and Alcoholics Anonymous and all the Anonymous stuff and all that, they have a saying, and they're pretty earthy and blunt, and they say, fake it till you make it. Now, you mean,
well, that's not very earthy.
Well, you know, it's about dream, living in the already or not yet. It's not yet here, but I'm going to live as if it's already here. If I'm already good and kind and faithful and recovering, I'm going to live that way. That's where you live the dream. It's not true. It's not real. It's not the way it is. But, you know, I'm going to live like it is. And I'm going to live that. You know, Nelson Mandela, depending on which decade you pick, you might have different opinions of it. But at the end of the time, Nelson Mandela talked about dreams. He said, I have a dream of South Africa that's at peace with itself. And he also said, you know, this is a man, 27 years in prison. This is a man who said, it's also a man who lies in prison. He takes 3 days to play one chess game. The man knew what waiting was about. And he said that winners are dreamers that don't give up. Winners are dreamers that don't give up. And he was living that dream in prison, just like that other Joseph person who went down to prison and later became a leader of the world, Mandela, lived the dream, even when it wasn't. Are dreams real? Y'all said you believe in dreams. Ha! Are dreams real? Well, you know, you may tell me that, well, we know what real is. Real is what is observable, measurable, repeatable, scientific. You know, we have measurements and recordings and theories, and we can do all this, but I tell you, you know, I love the science. I love the big fan of the tech stuff, you know, pure, you know, all that stuff. But I know enough about science to know that no matter what science we talk about, there's a bit of it that isn't real until someone experiences it. Until it actually happens to a person. You can record everything you want until someone reads it's not real. You can have all the theories you want until it's accepted. And even the basics of that, what's that cat name? Schwarzenegger. Who's the scientist?
Yes.
What?
Schrodinger.
Say that. Schrodinger. Thank you. Neither of some person can pronounce that. Schrodinger. All right.
Yeah. I called out Schrodinger in the church today. Yeah, that's kind of tricky. Okay.
That cat. You know, they said they have a little thing in the thought experience, and the way they come out is that the cat is both, and they I'm sorry if you love cats. Should we make it something else?
A rat.
A lawyer. No, a lawyer. Sorry, cat. Go back to the cat. Cat is here, and they said they got a little timer, and it's random whether or not it could die with radioactive isotope and all that. But the thing is that the cat is both alive and dead at the same time in possibilities until you open the box and observe. Then the possibilities collapse into reality. So inside the box, both possibilities exist. And you choose to open it and make one true. That's science. That's science. That's big time science right here in church. And I'm telling you the same thing. You can live the dream and make it true. Joseph. Now do it again. Joseph. He took what was horrible, awful. That imagine what it'd be if he said, "No, I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna do what I have." Here's another thing. And it's like 3A, I don't know where this is, but it's in the same 3. Is that, don't be right. Do right. Okay? Because he had every right to take Mary back to customer service and exchange her for a model that works. Every right. Probably had the receipt. But instead he chose, instead of to be right, he chose to do right. So that child that you gave him sin, that child is going to take away sin. He doesn't bring it, he takes it away. What are you talking about, Joseph? I knew it. And he lived that. He lived it. He was a Christian before Christ was born. Because he believed that Christ was going to take away the sins of the earth, and he ordered his life, turned his life around, forsake everything to be and to live like that. Live the dream. Do right, it's going to be right. And you can live the dream. Here's another test of reality.
When I dream of my brother Rick, when he comes and visits me,
in my dream, I'm reminded of him and how I miss him. I think about him, and I think about how he turned into such a kind, kind man. And you would never know from growing up, but he was such a kind man, and not just to people and friends and being, he was kind to animals. And I'm not just saying, taking care of animals. One time his friend wanted to go with him to a fun thing. And my brother Rick said, "I can't go. I made a promise to the dog." And his friend said, "And you can't break a promise to a dog." Well, that's the kind of guy he was. And when I dream about him and think about his kindness and think about how he changed his life and think about where he was going and think about all the stuff he overcome, changes the way I live, at least for a little while, maybe a longer while. And Joseph sees a dream of an angel and changes his plan to be put away into exile and to shame and to condemned to poverty, disease, and death, Mary and the unborn, and changes to say, "No, you are my wife. Not only am I not going to condemn you, not have you killed, but I'm going to take you as my wife. That's like nothing is wrong with you. I'm going to let that return period expire, and I'm going to live with you under honor and respect." Maybe the question is not, look at him in the dream and see whether or not it can be scientifically measured and examined and known to be real. But maybe the way to know things are real is how does it have an effect? If you can change someone's heart, if you can change someone from a lifetime of poverty and shame and horror to respectability and love and care and support, it doesn't get any more real than that. And if you can take a standing in line on Good Friday at Best Buy and turn that into a sacred moment of community, hope, and faith and love, I don't know what could be more than that. More important. So friends, choose your dream. There's no sudden you're real. And remember, Jesus Christ is the dream of God. The dream of God for humanity. Let's live that dream.